open up the Lord's word. Let's commit our time into his hands. Heavenly Father, again, we are in your presence tonight, redeemed, washed, sanctified by your Spirit. Your chosen, Father, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for our fellowship. We thank you, Lord, that we are here tonight to hear your word. We are those, Father, who worship you in spirit and in truth, who desire with our hearts to walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged, built up, helped in the faith as we hear your word, because we know faith comes by hearing that word. Lord, we thank you above all for the blood of Jesus over our time, over the connection, and all those who come into the room now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mighty Lord. Well, it's good to have you all in the room, and praise God for this time to share the Lord's word. And I have a title this evening for this message, which is Empowered to Follow Jesus. Empowered to Follow Jesus. Now, unless the Lord empowers us by his Spirit, we are never going to follow the Lord as disciples. We have to be absolutely clear on that one. We have to be empowered, anointed from on high, in which to follow him. And I want this evening to look at in the scriptures of how Jesus, when he called the disciples, how he worked with them over that 3 years, working with them, bringing them to that place of commitment, and so on. And firstly, we're going to look at John 13 and verse 36. John 13 and verse 36. And here is where Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Now, we all know this story well, but we'll just read this again to you. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." And Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay my life for your sake." And Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." And it's that I want to really base our teaching around tonight. And we're going to look at a few scriptures first, because coupled with that, if we turn now to John chapter 21 and verse 19, which is later, we see something a bit different here with Peter. Of course, we know the story of what happened. Peter did deny the Lord. He ran away at his night of betrayal and crucifixion. And we then begin to see how God works and begins to restore him. And we take it up in John 21, chapter 21 and verse 19. "Then he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me." Now, we know the story of where the Lord restored Peter back, where he challenged him, where he said, "Peter, do you love me?" And three times he raises that question, and then Peter realizes when he says, "Lord, you know all things." And God does know all things. And there are many things we say to God, that we want to do, that we mean, that we're sincere, but unless we are empowered with our commitment, with our words, we will deny the Lord. And probably most of us have denied the Lord in some way in our walk over the years. And yet wonderfully we have seen how God has restored and brought us back in fellowship with him. And when he brings us back, we have a deeper revelation, a deeper understanding of what it means to be his disciples, to follow him. Now, with what we've just read there, let's turn now to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 19. And here we see where the disciples are called. Let's take it actually from verse 18. Remembering tonight, our teaching is called Empowered to Follow Jesus. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." It's interesting that 3 years earlier, Jesus said to him, "Follow me," what we just read there. But, and Peter followed with absolutely no hesitation. He dropped his nets, like the rest of them, his work that he was doing. He left the lot and he followed Jesus. And we see that he was really moved by Jesus. He was attracted by Jesus. And we note that his following there, he didn't really need the Holy Spirit to help him do this. And many times we're impulsive. We do things where really what we're saying in our impulsion, "I don't need the Holy Spirit." And so he moved, like with the rest of them, left all and followed the Lord. But later, he comes to that place where he denies Jesus, and in doing that, his heart is broken. And we all know the story on this, don't we? And we note that when his heart is broken, we look back in John 21 and verse 19. And after Jesus had spoken to him, he restored Peter. He then says to him, "This is the Lord who's risen now from the dead, who's appearing to the disciples and many others." He now says again, "Follow me." Now, no one is in front of Peter except the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And at the first, he says, "Follow me." This was nothing strange or mysterious. It was just following the Lord. But Jesus is now asking for a greater sacrifice. It's an internal act sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that's in the heart. And it's a yielding over to the Spirit. Because he said to him in verse 18, "Most assuredly I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." And many, of course, predict that that was the type of martyrdom that Peter experienced. And many say that he was crucified. But we notice something completely different here in his following the Lord. And this is why, brothers and sisters, we need the Holy Spirit to empower us to follow Jesus. At first, when we're committed and we go all out, it's very much in the head. But the Lord has to meet up with us. We have to go through these experiences. Sadly, we have to deny the Lord, forsake him, because of fear and unbelief. And yet he has a way, doesn't he, of restoring us back. And again, he will echo those words, come, follow me. But we, this time, have a greater insight and revelation of what it actually means to follow the Lord. And it's interesting that between these two times, Peter denied Jesus with oaths and curses. And we see this. Let's just remind ourselves of this character. We can all relate to Peter, can't we? In Matthew 26 and verses 69. Let's go from 69. Now, Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know who you are saying." And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, "This fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, "Surely you also are one of them, for your speech betrays you." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." Immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So he went out and wept bitterly. We see that he came completely to the end of himself, and all of his self-sufficiency, his own strength, his own pride, what he thought and everything, he had come completely to the end of himself. There was no part of himself he would ever rely on again. And this is what the Lord was teaching him, that he was never again to rely upon his emotions, his feelings, things that he said before the Lord, and so on. The Lord is stripping him of all of that, and God has a way that he does exactly the same to us. This is the mercy and grace of God, how he deals with us over the years. There was no part of him that ever wanted to rely on this again. And in his state of destitution, he was finally ready, wasn't he, to receive all that the risen Lord had for him. And then he breathed on him and said to him, "Receive the Holy Spirit." John 20:22. Here it is. "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" They were now ready in that place where God had dealt with them. They had come back. They had seen the Lord crucified. The whole thing looked an absolute mess, a failure. They all denied him. They all ran away. But God was still in control. And after he was risen from the dead, he comes to them, as we know, and there he then breathes on them for the Holy Spirit. They're now ready to receive empowerment, because they're in that place where they're now disciples, that they can be empowered to follow faithfully and follow the Lord. This is why God doesn't always empower us straight away. He has to allow us sometimes to go through deep waters. He has to allow us to deny the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Peter. And when he saw it, he cried bitterly. He was broken. There was nothing left in him. He had nothing in himself, in his flesh, to say before the Lord. It was completely over to God to work decided in his heart. And that's exactly what the Lord does with us, with you and me. This is why so often he's weakening us in the natural. He's bringing us to the end of ourselves, where he uses these trials to show us that we need to be empowered from on high in order to be preserved and walk as disciples and be faithful to the end. We cannot do it in ourselves. You cannot pump this up. You cannot pump this up in churches and in meetings. This is an experience that comes between you and God in the trials and the things that we go through. And Peter had to go through this in order to see that it was in his weakness he would be made strong. And this is how God works with us, brothers and sisters. You see, no matter what changes God has performed in you, never really on them, that he builds only on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He builds everything on him, and we're found in him. And this is why he said, I will send my spirit, that it will come to empower you, that you may be not only witnesses, but disciples, and that you will above all endure and be faithful to the end. And boy, do we not need to be. With what we're seeing now in these last days, what is looming on the horizon, we now need to see that we stand firm in the Lord Jesus Christ, because what is coming on the earth, if we're not rooted in Christ, empowered from on high, we will run away. Fear will always work this. This is why the Lord has to work this fear out of us. In many ways, this is what God was working out of Peter and the disciples, because fear made them run away from the crucifixion. Fear was working through Peter because he denied the Lord. They confronted him, and he said, I don't know him. That was fear manifesting. And we've done the same. We've done it, or we do it. But if we stay with this, God will be faithful. And he will empower us with the Spirit. He will work by his Spirit on us. This is why I'm a great believer, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that there are other threshold experiences that come through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're not just empowered just once. Of course, we are empowered. But in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit, which we all have, it is us who hinder the power of the Spirit. We don't need any more Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is present. It is us, the flesh, unbelief, that hinders the Holy Spirit from taking over. And so as he works with us, and as he brings us to the end of ourselves, we experience more of the baptism which we already have received. And in many ways, this is what's going on here, you see. You see, the thing is, all our promises and our new resolutions end up in denial, because we have no power to accomplish them. We hear so much in Christendom. Sadly, you can get a lot of preachers who are preaching away, trying to encourage people, building them up. But unless the Holy Spirit empowers this, it will go no further than the ceiling. An empowerment from on high is free, but not cheap. And this is why the Lord is ever bringing us to the end of ourselves. That is, with our fighting with God, our own ideas, my wants, what I want to do, what I think is a good idea as a Christian. We are coming to the place, brothers and sisters, where we know nothing unless it is revealed to us from on high. The same as how Jesus walked. He said, I do only those things that the Father shows me from heaven. That is the same principle by which we walk by. We don't know anything unless the Holy Spirit reveals. This is why we worship God in spirit and in truth. We receive the things of the Spirit, not the things of the flesh, of the carnal. This is why God's working on our minds, changing our minds, renewing our minds, so that we can receive these things. But all of this that's been done, even what God is doing tonight, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is why when we come together in our meetings, the power of the Holy Spirit is to change us, brothers and sisters. And we must experience that change. We must open our hearts and our spirits for that change, so that when we leave tonight, we are different from when we came earlier. That is the Holy Spirit's work. And you may say to me, oh, well, I don't feel much is going on in my life. I don't feel much has happened at all in the last 6 months. Because you have not opened your heart. You've not come prepared. You have not sought God. You've not got prayed up, ready for your heart to be open to receive. The Holy Spirit is always there. The unction of the anointing is an empowerment. And this is why I'm saying, in the Holy Spirit which we have received, we can receive further blessings, further empowerments in that sense, from the Spirit we've received. Now these experiences come, it's because we're getting out of the way. It's where the cross is doing its work. Where we're no longer coming up with good ideas or my ideas, what I want to do. Just like we've read with Peter. But look what God did. Look how God dealt with Peter at the end when the Lord was risen, when he called him in from fishing and he spoke to him. How that love, that patience, that mercy and grace brought him back, and he said, finally, Lord, you know all things. He was realizing, I don't know anything. I've just spoken a load of hot air. And that's what we've done, haven't we, in the past? And yet look how God uses all of that. Look how he uses our failures. Look how he uses our good intentions, what we're going to do. We've all done it, haven't we, where we're going to do something, or we're going to pray, or we're going to get in fasting for something or someone, and we find we don't do it, or we've forgotten. Yes, we've all done it. But ultimately, what the Lord is doing is empowering us to follow Jesus. My brothers and sisters, this working of discipleship is far greater and bigger than we ever realize. Of course, we all have to be called. There has to come a response. Of course there is. But we are seeing, aren't we, now, just like Peter, where, Lord, you know all things. I don't know anything. I don't know anything anymore. Have you gone through a trial recently where you have just said, I don't know anything anymore? I don't even know what's happening. It just looks utterly ridiculous. I've just got to take it by faith that I am a disciple of Christ and that I walk with Jesus, because if I look at everything else, it looks absolutely bleak. It's hopeless. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you've got to that state, praise God, you are a disciple of Christ, because he's doing exactly what he was doing with the disciples and what he was doing with Peter. And you are coming to that place to be empowered from on high yet more, in which to follow Jesus and not to deny him or betray him, or whatever, or not to be a Judas. If you're truly a born again, spirit filled Christian, something within you cries out, Lord, please never, ever let me be a Judas. There's just something there. There's a godly fear about that, that we will be faithful to the end. Now, the Holy Spirit puts that there. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes to such cries, to such prayers. So let us be assured, let us take comfort, because that's what the Holy Spirit is. He comes as a comforter, to comfort us. And so that when we hear these things, and I'm sure that when Peter said what he said, that was a comfort to him in his walk, later walk with the Lord. It was a comfort to realize that God was empowering him. God was preserving and keeping him. And there are times, isn't there, in our walk when it looks as though God isn't doing that. It looks as though he's just left us or forsaken us. When it looks as though it's all gone wrong, or it's it just looks strange, or what I thought was the Lord appeared not to be. He hasn't forsaken us. He hasn't left us. He's simply allowing that situation in which to show something deeper of himself. And I do believe that we are coming to that place now where we're not thinking it's strange anymore when we go through trials. We're not sort of getting all het up and so upset. We're realizing, yes, God's permitting this because there's something bigger, something greater that's going to come as a result of this. But one thing you can be well assured of, that it is an empowerment to follow him and to stay with him and to walk with him and move with him. Jesus received exactly the same from the Father. He was empowered from on high in which to walk and move with his ministry, and it is the same principle that works with us. And so those disciples, they were worked on by God. And we know from history and church history, and we know from the scriptures, that they remained faithful to the end. And a lot of them, as we know, were martyred for the faith. They're there now in glory. But none of that could ever have happened unless the Holy Spirit empowered from on high for that to be achieved. And that is why you need to draw from the Spirit of God. And that is why, as it says in Jude 20, to speak in tongues, to build yourself up in your most holy faith. That is vital. That helps us. That keeps us close with God, as well, of course, when we use our tongues for intercession and supplication before the Lord as well. So all of these things are absolutely vital to keep us empowered, to make us aware of the Holy Spirit who has come to glorify Jesus Christ in our life. This is his ministry. This is his work. But we can so hinder him so many times. This is why the Holy Spirit is shown like a dove. And a dove is a very timid creature and will fly away very easily. And sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we quench the Holy Spirit in our meetings when we come together. When God's wanting empower in the meeting. And no finer way of being empowered by the Holy Spirit, whether individually or corporately, is when we come to our meetings, gathered together in his name. This is why he sets the gifts in the church. And it says you move out in those gifts, you then are empowered for that gift, to move in that gift. How will we know otherwise? Now, of course, we know that there is initially coming an empowerment for the last days, and what we believe for the greater works, that we do know. But we also have the Holy Spirit now. He's come now in his fullness. And you experience him now. I think too often we're still sitting back and waiting for something to happen, or wait wait until somehow I feel his presence. As I've said to you many, many times, brothers and sisters, I've had to learn that one from experience. I don't always feel the Holy Spirit when I stand up and talk. I just believe he's there. He's in me. He's empowered me. And I've come to that place where feelings or anointings are very secondary to my obedience and yielding to the Holy Spirit. And that is ultimately what he wants to do with us. He wants to bring each of us where we yield to the Spirit. That's what motivates us. That is what is needful. We're still at times, we won't yield unless we feel an anointing, or we have a feeling, or God says it, or whatever it is. You're going to miss out if that's how you're moved or motivated. We have to believe he is there. He has empowered us to follow Jesus. And brothers and sisters, that's a good giveaway to you. If you find yourself either here tonight in this room or on Sunday when you come to the meetings to come and praise and worship Jesus, to come together in his name, then there's an empowerment that's caused you to do that, because you're not going to do it on your own. You're going to go off and do other things you prefer to do. So we can take great comfort. Again, that's what the Holy Spirit is for. The very fact I'm here, the very fact I'm together with my brothers and sisters, praising and worshipping God, that is a clear sign God's empowering me to do that. Therefore, I have received the power of the Holy Spirit, and greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And therefore, I can and will yield over that he can use me for his glory. I'd have to do that. I could very easily go by a feeling or an anointing, and I can tell you something, if that was the case, you'd probably be only getting a sermon like once a month or twice a month. We walk and move by faith. If God has said it in his word, that's all we need. And that is the principle that we walk by. And I think at times the enemy is robbing. The enemy still uses fear. Just like Peter, he denied the Lord, and fear caused him to run away. And fear does exactly the same in many ways. But if you stay with it, God is going to bring you to a place where your heart is absolutely broken. There's nothing left in you. And then you realize the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers, who takes over. This is why ministry sometimes has to be waited upon. Some can have that calling years ago in their lives, and yet they're still waiting for the ministry to happen. And the reason being is because they still not yet empowered to follow Jesus. This is why God is making no mistake in these last days. This is why it takes a long time. There are times when it seems nothing is happening, or whatever it is, because he's working away, bringing us to the end of relying upon the intellect, upon our knowledge, upon what we think is right, good ideas, emotions, feelings, you name it, so that we are completely yielded over and are experiencing the empowerment of Jesus Christ in our lives. That has to be experienced. Because when you are experiencing that, that is a tremendous anchoring, a tremendous encouragement. It is our faith. We're realizing something greater works through me, and it's Almighty God. And the reason we need that I must experience that, because then is when God gets all the glory. It's because you have ministered, you have seen, you have experienced the Holy Spirit empowering you and taking over. And you can boast in nothing. They are the ministries that God is preparing to come forth in these last days. And it's not to make us or any others any different, but I think we know, brothers and sisters, there are not many that have come to that place. Not many who stand behind pulpits have come to that place. Why, even I am still being worked on in this area. But that is why the Holy Spirit has come to empower us, so that we can follow Jesus. And if the Lord is bringing you to the end of yourself, your heart is broken, everything has gone wrong, what you thought or you thought might happen, there is a reason for it. It's so that you can be empowered from on high to remain faithful and walk with Jesus and never forsake him or run away. That is the ultimate work he's doing with us. This is why we remind ourselves again now, as I bring it to a close, of the man-child, Revelation 12, in the womb of the church, the woman. And there she's being prepared and made ready. And we notice that the dragon is right there, the enemy is right there to abort, to destroy that man-child that is going to come forth. But we notice that the man-child ready to be born is snatched, caught away. That is Almighty God's hand and preservation over the overcomers of this last day. And that's the ultimate work. That is the grace and mercy of God. He's got us covered. We're hid at present. And it's for a very good reason, so that he can work these godly affections within us. He can work this so that we will be faithful followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe we are protected also simply because of the time that we live in. We are living in the most wicked times the world has ever known. And we are on the brink of the greatest judgment that the world will have ever known. We can look back and read in scriptures of where God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, where he allowed the flood to cover the whole earth. And my goodness me, that's a job to get your mind round when you think of that. And yet, it's going to be even greater, the judgments, those vials and seals as they're opened upon the earth. We can't even begin to conceive what's going to happen. And this is why we're seeing the falling away in these last days. In every way, we're seeing the new age coming in. We're seeing the enemy preparing to set up his kingdom, his throne, for a season. This is why God is preserving. If he doesn't preserve, he won't have a remnant. And I thank and praise God that he's consecrated us. He set us apart for this, to preserve and keep us from the evil one. We won't stand otherwise in the world. The Spirit is too strong. But the Holy Spirit is greater, and he has come to empower us, to seal us, so that we can stand in these last days. And when it feels as though you're not standing, when it feels as though you're just collapsing, you can't take any more, remember the Holy Spirit is there to take over. And you know that because you have seen that in your life and your experiences. You know it's true, because if it wasn't true, we wouldn't be here tonight gathered together in this room. We're all of us here tonight because the Holy Spirit has empowered us, and he brought us through our last trial, revealing he's faithful, so that we can be here tonight listening to this word. Don't we serve a great and mighty God? Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your precious word. We thank you, Father, that the Spirit of God has come to glorify Jesus. And Lord, we know that you're doing such a deep, 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 deep work in us. We don't understand it. It's too deep. And why? Because you know us better than we know ourselves. Lord, we still think at times we know ourselves, and every time we think we know ourselves, that's a sign of pride. But you're removing every obstacle of pride, realizing that we know nothing unless you reveal it from on high. And Father, I thank you for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit that keeps us walking with you, that helps us not to deny you, to forsake you. And we've all been tempted, Lord, with that one. But we thank you, Father, for the blood of Jesus that seals us. Father, thank you tonight for speaking into our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. Your love is so great, it's so overwhelming, Father. Oh, Lord, we know that none of us should be here. None of us should be experiencing what we're experiencing, but you chose us in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world. We will never, ever understand this one. But Lord, we just want to acknowledge a great thank you, an appreciation, Father. And Lord, we don't want to let you down, but we're even dependent on you empowering us to remain faithful. Lord, do whatever it takes that we truly may be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.